This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
I'm your big daddy, and I want to be referred to as such.
When the clock struck six, it meant one thing.
Just take the L. I'm not even trying to compete with
okay.
that Lego.
Okay, good.
I am generic white male.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's Andrew Gundley.
You couldn't possibly understand the hurt. And tonight's ENN is sponsored by the All-American Ford Auto Group. Shop the largest and best Ford group in the Northeast at allamericanford.net. All-American Ford has the largest selection and best prices with locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Peter, along with Michael and Don, are all off tonight. Andrew Gundling filling in alongside Chris Carlin. Chris, what's up, man? How are you?
Now, for those of you worried, you're saying, what's happening to Alan Hahn?
He's been fired. What was awkward is that Alan later tweeted, wait, what? As to reference to the fact that I was going at 7, and I just said, yeah, we announced your firing. I hope this is not how you're finding out.
This is how you're finding out.
Yeah. Listen, it's been worse before.
By the way, we are kidding. Alan is moving to midday.
Yes. No, he's moving to 1 o'clock, 1 to 3 every day.
Yeah.
With yet to be announced.
TBD.
Co-host. Yeah,
that's
we'll see. Anyway, how you doing?
Good,
more
man.
More importantly, generic white man.
That is me.
Yeah.
I am generic white male.
What's RJ? If he's generic white male, what's RJ?
RJ, he's routinely lauded for his hair.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, above average hair, also generic white male, number two.
When was the last time you did not have product in that hair?
When I moved here, 6 years ago. My hair was buzzed. It was about a quarter of an inch long for a long time, yeah.
And you've had product in it every day since?
A whole bunch. Ironically, the guy I got what I use from is the guy whose spot you're taking.
Really?
Changed my life, yeah. Changed everything.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, I love Al. You put a match anywhere near that hair, that thing's going up.
You know, it's funny, actually. I never told you this. Mm. I went to a barber shop in Astoria once, because I lived in Astoria for a number of years.
Yeah.
And when I went in there, like sometimes barber shops will have pictures of people who are of some level of fame that get their hair cut there. And your picture was one of the pictures on their wall.
It's on Ditmars, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
I used to go there all the time.
Yep.
I can't remember that guy's name.
I only went there once.
Okay.
I wound up making another place my go-to. But it was in the beginning when
you
I first moved there.
Saw my picture and you walked out.
Said it.
Wait. That bald son of a... Yeah, no. You walked out. I get it.
Yeah. The one on Ditmars.
Absolutely. I used to go there all the time. I lived in Astoria for a long time. What's going on?
Yeah, here we go. No real surprise, but Daniel Jones will officially be getting the start this Sunday for the Giants. And talking about his ankle, earlier in the week, Jones said it feels good. Feels like I can do everything I need to do. Keep working through, and hopefully I can continue to improve throughout the week, which apparently he has. Obviously, the matchup that everyone's going to be honed in on is Jones versus Haskins, even though they aren't really matched up against one another necessarily. Victor Cruz was on NFL Live. He made his pick for the game.
Daniel Jones is coming back. He actually gets some of his receivers back. Sterling Shepard, Golden Tate, and obviously Darius Slayton, who's been a surprise receiver for the Giants, making big play after big play week in and week out. So I'm going with the Giants in this one. I think they bounce back and get a victory against the Redskins, a division rival.
I'm stunned that Victor Cruz would pick the Giants and Daniel Jones in this spot. Stunned.
Truly shocking.
It's not a knock on Victor, but honestly, I mean, the Giants... What bothers me the most is that they should win this game. They are better, slightly, than the Washington Redskins. But I don't want to see them win this game, and I don't think anybody wants to see them win this game, because it gets harder and harder to go get Chase Young. It gets harder and harder.
Are you someone who can sit there, you're watching TV, you can actively root, like if Daniel Jones throws a touchdown to Darius Slayton, you will sit there and say no? Like Dave Rothenberg talks about all the time how he's actively rooting against them.
Who says that, Don?
Dave Rothenberg. And I get it, but there's just part of me that, I don't know, I just can't quite get to that. I can be maybe not upset with a loss, but actively rooting against the team as the game is happening is just a hard place for me to go.
And if it's your team, you can't do it. Yeah, I mean, if you're doing it during a game, it's pushing it a little bit, but I would sit there and I wouldn't be actively cheering either. I would kind of sit there with my arms folded like, Oh, crap.
Just like a quiet observer.
A quiet observer, but not hiding my frustration. Actively screaming at the television, no! Not doing that. You think Rothenberg does that?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe
I'm still
even
getting
stronger
to know Dave. We've come across each other a bunch of times, and I know he's a big Giant fan. I can see him screaming at the television.
He's maniacal. He's maniacal.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. I could see that. All right.
Let's see. Knicks in action tonight facing Miami. New York 3-3 since turning the reins over to Mike Miller. The Heat, meanwhile, have been one of the surprises of the season so far. You can hear that game, by the way, here on 98.7. Pregame follows us at 7:30 p.m. So Mike Miller looking to get a game above 500. I do wonder if there's anything he can do to truly win the job, or if the Knicks are kind of dead set on maybe a bigger name candidate.
Well, I do think that there is something. All right, they're 7-21. If the Knicks won 30 games this year, and that's a big number. If the Knicks won 30 games this year, I think he would keep the job. I honestly do, because, and it's not because he would deserve it, and I think he probably would.
Well, he would if he does that.
If he does that. But that would be a case where Steve Mills could point to Miller and talk to Jim Dolan and say, I told you. It's not for David Fizdale. It's not the players. Or David Fizdale was the problem, not the players. We brought these players. They're okay. This guy just showed you they're okay. And I think that's the way he would be able to keep the job. Steve Mills, I tell you, he, and we all know these guys, the guys who manage up brilliantly, the guys who just, I mean, to put it in a more basic way, the guys who know how to kiss you know what brilliantly. He does that well. He does that well because he is not a basketball guy in any way.
Yeah, I would imagine it's going to get even harder for Mike Miller. If you're talking about the 30-win numbers being like the number he has to get to, I have to assume that they're going to start dealing away whatever valuable assets they have, like Marcus Morris, players like that. It's just,
you're not getting to 30 then, but you're right. I mean, that's the responsible thing to do. 7-21, 28 games in. So you got 50-some games left. 54 games left.
So to get to 30, they'd have to go 23 and
31. That's pretty good with that team.
For them.
Yeah,
yeah.
Team, that would be pretty good. I don't think they'll be able to do that.
Staying with the NBA, it was a possible NBA Finals preview last night. Really good game. The Bucks beat the Lakers 111-104. Can we talk about Giannis just for a minute here? I mentioned yesterday on ENN how he's now the odds-on favorite to take home the MVP award. Then, in the wake of that, he went out last night against probably his primary competition. I know LeBron wasn't number two on that list. I think it went Giannis, Harden, Luka, then LeBron.
But I think AD's right there.
And then Anthony Davis was right after LeBron in terms of like the betting odds favorites or whatever. But Giannis went out and just put on a show last night. 34 points on just 19 shots. But here's the thing. I kind of feel like we are witnessing Giannis's Happy Gilmore moment, and by that I mean this.
Happy learned how to putt. Uh-oh.
That's right. I'm talking about this.
Giannis pulls up for his fifth three. Gone! A, B, C. Easy as 1-2-3 for the MVP. 14-point lead for the Bucks. 5 made three-pointers for Giannis. A career high for one game.
He was 5 of 8 from three last night. For the month of December, he's 45% from three. He already won an MVP award while being completely incompetent from three-point range. If he adds that element to his game, oh my God, I cannot even begin to think how dominant he is going to become.
He's unstoppable at that point. Yeah. I don't know how you would stop him. Here's my one knock on Giannis from last night, though. When AD is going down the court, in case you missed it, Giannis is trailing him. AD's on a breakaway. And Giannis goes up and tries to make the heroic defensive play and just gets posterized. I mean, he when you're trailing as far as he did, and he's obviously very fast and very athletic, he's trying to go make the big play. That spot, see, I got to pick my spots there. That's a bad job by him on AD. You got
bad job because you don't want to get
because he looks silly.
Oh, see, I respect him. I respect it. When I saw him do it, I said, yeah, he believes that he can, I can get to him. Like, that mindset. Like, yeah, I'm 3 feet behind him, but my arms, my length, I can block his shot. Yeah, he didn't do it, and he did look silly, but I love the thought process that I'm going for this. I can block him.
That's a risk-reward, and that risk was not worth that reward.
He's posterized enough people. He can afford to be on the receiving end of it.
Yeah, I know, but I just – if you're like me, all you worry about is your looks. That's him. You know, he in that spot, I would not have gone for it. I'm gutless. Ironically enough, I'm gutless, but
I can already see RJ moving to get that drop.
I'm a gutless.
I saw him flinch the second you said it.
I'm a gutless generic white male.
Welcome to the club. By the way, generic white male.
That's me.
One other NBA thing that I wanted to mention. I mentioned yesterday that the NBA Hall of Fame nominees were mentioned.
Yes.
And when we were going through it, I kind of, like, there were the obvious ones. Kobe in, Duncan in greatest power forward in NBA history. Garnett, not far behind him in. And then I went through some of the other ones and just said, give me a quick yes or no. Most of them was consensus. Although Allen yesterday for Mark Eaton said yes. And I, like, Allen knows as much basketball as anyone I've ever known. I almost fell out of my chair. He averaged like 6 a game.
Yeah,
he could block shots, but anyway.
He's a good defensive player. I did not see enough of Mark Eaton, but I would not. He does not come to mind when I think
not a Hall of Famer.
No.
But the one that I found
Mark
myself.
Eaton, the Eli of NBA. No.
Wow.
I'm kidding.
I found myself feeling bad later because one of the names was Chris Webber. And both the guys said yes. And I kind of said, eh. And so somebody actually called in earlier today and didn't even want to go on the air. He wanted to just go at me off the air for me having that opinion about Chris Webber. And he, unfortunately, I didn't get the guy's name and his call disconnected before I could even go back at him with my point. But what I was going to say to him was that in the time since, I actually did think more about it, the Chris Webber one. And I do now think he is a Hall of Famer.
I think he is.
The thing for me was I just wasn't sure if his prime was too short. He had 4 years in Sacramento where he was almost at, if we're talking about good power forwards, he was almost at the Duncan Garnett level.
Mm-hmm.
And he's compared with those two because his era lines up almost identically with them. But you can still be a Hall of Famer without being Duncan or Garnett. So, and I think Webber meets that line.
I agree with that. And I also think you also have to, because it is the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Michigan.
You have to factor that in, and you have to factor in that, I mean, I hate to put it this way, the Basketball Hall of Fame is the easiest one to get in. The bar is just a hair lower than every other. You have to be great to get in. You don't have to be one of the 5 best players in the sport when you're playing it to get in.
So to whoever that guy was that called earlier, I just want to say you were right. I do think Chris Webber is a Hall of Famer.
Even though you gave him no chance to respond. He gave you no chance to respond.
Right, yeah. He made his point and then disconnected immediately.
See, what's the problem with that? What's the problem with me for that? I would then double down the other way.
So
the guy didn't even give me a chance. Now, screw you. He's not. Here's why. And here's every stat supporting why he's not an NBA or not a Basketball Hall of Fame.
I should have gone that way. But like you, I am gutless.
Well, no, we got to get some more bitterness in your heart.
Maybe. Well, here you go. This story is perfect for you because it happened again. It happened again last night. Kevin Harlan is going viral again. This was him last night during the Bucks-Lakers game.
Do the do. And by Goodyear, celebrating the drive that powers you forward. Goodyear, more driven.
I thought Cardi B was sitting next to me.
Did you?
The way you did that.
Did you?
That's awesome. Wow.
He was summoning Migos from the Mountain Dew commercials, if you're not familiar.
Just flash like the ice on the wrist. That's a call I can't miss.
I've had like a running thing kind of with Kevin Harlan.
With Kevin Harlan?
He doesn't, not that he knows.
Beer is every place.
Like, I actually think he's a great announcer. I really do. I think he calls a great game. But I just, when he has these moments, the beer is every place one.
The guy is drunk.
The guy is drunk. And then most recently, the cat, I think it was, that was on the field.
Yes, the black cat at MetLife.
I feel like he gets into these moments where he just becomes a little bit too aware
of what he is doing. Like, you know what I like?
No, you're what you're saying is he's forcing the viral.
He feels himself going viral.
I'm going viral. Doesn't Warner know this?
And he's excited about the fact that he's going viral. And it just, for whatever reason, it drives me crazy.
Beer is every place.
I know I'm in the minority. I know most people, it goes viral for a reason because people adore when he gets into these situations. But I don't know. I'm just not that guy.
I tell you what, kind of with you.
Oh, wow.
I like Kevin Harlan a lot. I really do. And I have come to appreciate him even more. I do feel like after he did the drunk guy on the field the first time.
The guy is drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're forcing it when you go back to it. And with the cat, forcing it a little bit.
Oh,
forcing it.
And Michael was so in awe. And because when the cat was on the field, he even worked in the sponsor for the red zone. And I said, oh,
that's
he's
not bad.
Just, no, come on. No, it was too much.
But that's at least creative. He worked in the sponsor. Yeah. That's pretty
he's
good.
Walking to the three.
Oh, no.
He's at the two. And the cat is in the CDW red zone. CDW, people who get it now, a policeman, a state trooper has come on the field, and the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown.
See, now, yeah, like that's where it, okay.
See, we're just killjoys. We don't want to have fun.
One problem here, though, that Reggie Miller thought he was doing Cardi B, the that thing. Did you get that? Yeah, keep that. He thought he was doing Cardi B.
No, but he definitely wasn't. Right, because he was doing a Mountain Dew read, and that's the Mountain Dew commercial.
Yes.
Right.
If you want to see the most out-of-place person ever, me, this happened, in Minnesota, at a Migos concert. That happened.
Were you there because you love Migos, or was there some other reason?
No, it was like, you know, you get invited to parties when you're in the media. And I got invited to see Migos. I think it was Rolling Stone or something like that.
All right, so you're not necessarily a fan. You just felt like this is a thing that I probably shouldn't say no to.
I like Migos. I like Migos, absolutely. They're no bread, but I like Migos.
Nice reference. Don't want to confuse Aubrey.
No. He would have been a success as Aubrey Graham.
Perhaps.
I don't know why he went with Drake.
He didn't want to be confused with the bread song. This is a bread song, Aubrey. I'm joking.
The looks he was getting as that joke was transpiring, it was hard to watch. You wanted to save him, but I didn't even really know what he was talking
it
about.
It was horrifying.
Exactly.
At the Migos concert, I am like Uncle Buck walking through that crowd.
Let's see now. Jets face the Steelers this weekend. Le'Veon Bell, not the only reunion in this one. That's right. Hines Ward, for those who don't know, is the Jets' offensive assistant. Obviously, he's a little bit more known for his time with Pittsburgh. He spoke to Rich Samini about what it's going to be like. He said, it'll be special for me, but I'm a competitive guy. I want to win. I want to beat the Steelers as much as anybody in this building. Trust me. I'm telling guys, you have to win this for me. I want the Gatorade shower. And all that if we win. You believe him?
I want the Gatorade shower. You're not even the wide receivers coach, is he? He's like a
offensive assistant.
Offensive assistant. Yeah, he was a grad assistant during or whatever it was, a special, you know, coaching program assistant intern during training camp, and they added him to the staff. No, Hines, you don't get the shower. You don't get the Gatorade.
But you believe that his loyalty in this, like there will be no joy for him should Pittsburgh win this game.
No, he wants to win.
Of course.
He wants to win, yeah. Absolutely. But, yeah, no, I believe him when he says that. But,
yeah.
I mean, you know, let's not go asking for the Gatorade shower. Let's not do that.
They have to do it now.
Because he's now squarely put it on him. Go win it for me. He's not sick. He's not dead. Go win it for me.
Yep.
Come on, Hines.
By the way, quick glance around the NFL. The big story right now continues to be Dak Prescott. Not on the injury report for Dallas. He's going to play. Steve Young was on SportsCenter talking about how Dak's going to look with this injury.
So impossible to know because some of it you can shoot up and being pain-free and you get the full mobility, and it doesn't hurt, and you can go for it. And other things, you can't shoot it up, and you can't go pain-free. And anytime you use sort of throwing motion, and think about throwing a football. It's the weight of it. In baseball, it's different. Football's heavy. And especially in the wintertime, footballs get heavier anyway. And the torque and the pressure on the shoulder socket can be tough. So if it is not pain-free, and he has to manage around it, and you have to make throws on the run, I mean, you can imagine how difficult this could get. So I think you'll know in the first two throws, you'll go, hey, that looks like Dak, or, oh, that does not look like Dak, and you'll know exactly where you are.
This is huge.
Yeah, it is. It's a massive game this weekend. To me, you know, if I had to pick one or two games to watch this weekend and I couldn't watch any of the others, it would probably be Cowboys-Eagles, even above Patriots-Bills, even above Packers-Vikings.
Well, it's essentially a Week 16 playoff game.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a classic rivalry.
Yep.
So you put those two together, and it should be fun. The Dak stuff is particularly huge because, A, Amari Cooper has just destroyed the Eagles since he went to the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
And B, the Eagles secondary is very susceptible to the big play.
You know,
so if Dak can't throw the ball downfield, that's like a huge help to a secondary that needs all the help they can get.
I don't know what's happened to that secondary, but like that was a strength not too long ago. Like even during training camp, you thought corner might be a strength.
Right. We thought last year we thought they were bad because they were hurt.
Right.
And then they all came back healthy. Well, sort of. There was several weeks where they once again were all hurt. But
you also had guys like Avante Maddox really step up.
And he's regressed. Now, he dealt with a bad injury during the season, friendly fire, when his own teammate just, Anderson Dejo, what was that?
I tell you who has not developed. I thought Rasul Douglas would be a lot better.
And Sidney Jones, too.
Oh, he stunk.
Yeah. But that should be a fun game, no doubt, 4:25 on Sunday. Good news, Met fans. Yoenis Cespedes believes he's about to have a big year. Eduardo Perez was on MLB Network Radio on Sirius XM earlier this week, and he said this.
I had spoken to Yoenis, and he's hungry. Just imagine if you do add a Yoenis Cespedes, a guy that, you know, verbally told me, he said, I'm ready, and I'm going to go out with a bang this year, and I'm not just going to hit 40 home runs. I said, that means you're going to be out on that field for 140 plus games. And he goes, then I'll be out there for 140 plus games. I said, can your legs take it? I said, the mind's one thing. The mind will say yes, but the legs haven't been out there in 2 years consistently. Verbally, he told me he could hit 52, his number. I would love to see that happen if Yoenis Cespedes. That would be comeback player of the year, no doubt, with this one.
Come on. I mean, what are we doing? 52 home runs.
Do you know what his career high is?
He hit 50 one year, didn't he?
I thought it was 35.
I thought he hit, maybe it is 35. I could have sworn earlier in his career he hit 50, but I could be dead wrong about
it. I'm going to look it up.
But look, even that aside, okay, with Cespedes, you can't even count on him being there at any point during the year, let alone anything else. And I got to tell you, one thing that really, I don't want to say it bugs me, but there has not been a deep dive of any sort into this injury. And when he so freely decided to give up $19 million and just take $10 million for this coming year, we obviously know that it was an injury he suffered not playing baseball. One thing said, I think Brody at one point said, we know he was interacting with an animal. By the way, that's just the wrong way to put it. Just don't say it like that. So maybe he was riding a horse. But I want to see the reporter, and there's got to be somebody who's really going to dig to find out why he was so willing so quickly to give up $19 million.
It's unheard of.
Yeah. I mean, Aaron Boone had his, you know, contract voided and he got released and all that. They're trying to do that with Ellsbury just to save some money.
But Ellsbury is fighting hard.
Maybe you could say that Cespedes is trying to keep all of it. I think more likely there's more to this situation where the Mets probably said to him, well, we can do this the easy way or we can do it the hard way. And I think he chose the easy way to do it. There might be something else going on. I don't know.
35 is his career high.
Wow. Jeez. I don't know why I thought he hit 50.
Since 2016 total, what was the number, RJ? 26 home runs?
Yeah. You can't sit there and tell me you're going to play 140 games when you get tired from playing golf during the day.
So then for the Mets, what is, like, if at the end of the season his numbers were X, you'd be satisfied. What would that have to be?
Oh, if Yoenis Cespedes
like 110 games with like 25 homers?
I think you'd be thrilled with that.
Okay.
I think you'd be absolutely thrilled. If I were a Met fan, if I got half a season out of Cespedes and 20 home runs, or even 15 to 20, I'd be freaking thrilled. Thrilled. Absolutely thrilled.
Staying with baseball for a sec, a little hot stove with Francisco Lindor. Trade rumors heating up. According to The Athletic, the Indians are telling teams involved to prepare their best offers this weekend. And then at that point, Cleveland will determine if it is going to trade the four-time All-Star. He still has 2 years left on his contract. There were some reports that the Mets were involved, but they backed off when the price got too high. Like I just said, four-time All-Star, 26 years old. I'm kind of curious what too high constitutes in this situation for the Mets.
Well, Andrew, Andy Martino of SNY suggested that the Indians had asked for Jeff McNeil a few times, and I don't know that it was straight up. I think it was Jeff McNeil plus. Now, if you're the Mets, if it's Jeff McNeil plus a little bit more, I would have done it, but you also have to pay Lindor over the next 2 years, a pretty healthy number, and then whether or not you're going to keep him beyond that. I would absolutely do it, and I know that people love McNeil, but like Jeff McNeil should not be stopping me from getting Lindor. If you want to argue we don't want to pay him and give him McNeil, I buy it a little bit more. That shouldn't be the difference maker. Lindor is a tremendous player. Don't worry. He would not be the next Roberto Alomar. He would not be that guy.
And finally, actually, one hockey note for you. Islanders, they bounced back yesterday. 3-2 went over the Bruins. But I want to go back to earlier in the week. They lost 8-3 to Nashville on Tuesday. Late in the game, Predators coach Peter Laviolette, he was still putting his top power play unit out on the ice. Barry Trotz was asked about what he thought of that. Here's what he said.
For whatever reason, I'll see Peter maybe in the summer and we'll discuss that a little bit. I wasn't a big fan of that. I'm not a big fan of that. 8-3 and you're putting your guys blasting pucks and you're putting guys at risk, and that's fine. Everybody has their own way of doing it. I probably wouldn't have did it that way. Tells me a lot about him.
Do you have a point?
Tells me a lot about him. Yeah. Slipped that in at the end.
He needed that shot.
Is Peter still bitter over getting fired by the Islanders 15 years ago?
I was actually thinking that, too.
I mean, listen, I hold grudges with the best of them, but that's going on a little bit long.
Is Barry Trotz right to feel annoyed that the Predators would do that up 8-3?
But it's the same thing like you would argue if somebody's stealing a base at 10-2, you know? Stop them. Or running up the score in the NFL. Stop them. Stop them. I've come around more to that mentality. I don't think you need to run it up necessarily. I wouldn't do it myself, but I wouldn't complain about it publicly either. I wouldn't do that.
But I think it seems like he wanted to complain about it publicly. Like
absolutely.
He made sure that he
When you slide in at the very end, it tells me a lot about him, and we'll have a discussion about it at some point over the summer. Yeah.
Yeah. With things like that, I'm kind of the mindset, not necessarily the stop them mindset, but kind of the, okay, it all gets remembered.
Written down. Absolutely.
It all gets remembered. And then next time the Islanders play them in some way, it will be remembered and they will, they have to go and do it, but they'll have their chance to right that wrong.
It's like Rougned Odor decking Jose Bautista.
Yeah. Jose Bautista wasn't ready for that.
No, he was not.
Yep. That is
that smoke.
ENN for tonight. This portion of the K Show brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years.
Fantastic work, Andy.
Thank you, sir.
All right. 629, Chris Garland in on the Michael K Show at 800-919-ESPN. Your calls are coming up next. Who's really to blame for Le'Veon Bell's lack of performance this season? It's not Le'Veon Bell. This portion of the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by PC Richard & Son. Still not done with your holiday shopping? Go to PCRichard.com. Buy online, pick up in store. It's fast, it's easy. It's PC Richard & Son.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.